Hello out there, and welcome to your next mission video podcast. Have you ever wondered how you can sharpen your leadership skills? What about improving your health and wellness? Our guest today says those two things are connected, and she's going to tell us how taking care of yourself can make you a better leader. It's information for all of us, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to your next mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision and USAA, together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I'm going to say it every week. We love them, too. Today, we're going to be talking about wellness and leadership. You may think those are two unrelated topics, but they're not. And our guest is going to tell us why. And I'm excited to introduce Dr. Teresa Larson, commonly referred as Dr. T, I love that, a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, who is the founder and president of Movement RX, a company that works with corporate leadership teams to help them develop their health and well-being. Dr. T, thanks for joining us on the show.
Sergeant Major, it's good to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I know you stay terribly busy all the time. We have a lot. In fact, where you're living, it's really nice, too. We'll tell the audience later about that. But we have a lot to talk about. Before we get started, we just tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So, yes, I live in Southwest Colorado, which we can get into later. That's where I stay busy doing really active things. But I'm a mother of two little boys. I have an amazing husband I get to work with, so we run Movement RX together. I am a Marine Corps veteran and now run Movement RX, which is a human performance-focused company, meaning we help people make their well-being their competitive advantage, specifically leaders. I am someone who has lost my health as a leader and didn't think I could have both at the same time. I come to find out that's a pretty common thing. And, but I do believe in practicing what you preach. I can't get up there in front of an audience or the leaders I work with and not practice it. And this work is not only my work, but it's extreme passion of mine. It's like a heart, soul, head kind of endeavor.
There you go. Well, it's you know, when I told you before, I stayed in the Army a long, long time, but we always call that leading by example. You got to go out. If you can't tell somebody to do something, you're not going to do it yourself.
Yeah.
I understand you was a platoon. You had a platoon in the Marines. Mm-hmm. You were a platoon leader. Did leadership really, I don't know, everybody's not a leader, but did leadership naturally come to you, or was it difficult to be a leader, especially for the first time?
No, it wasn't difficult for me to be a leader. What was difficult was for me to take care of myself at the same time.
Ah.
I grew up with wonderful parents who, I mean, it was definitely not an easy life we had, but my father and mother both showed me how to live and lead. My mother passed when I was really young. But even though she passed when I was young, she still like taught me how to live. And my dad, you know, he never stopped leading and living. And he also struggled with being healthy at the same time, right? So he loved to help people. He became actually a second vocation Catholic priest after my mother passed. It was just what he wanted to do, and he loved it, but he served so many people. And I got his traits, you know, of helping everyone else but myself. I was a great softball player, team captain, All-American. You know, I would say Marine Corps training was not easy for me, but I'm like my older brother who was like, I don't understand why you're having such a hard time with this. Like, this is easy. I'm like, no, it's not easy. But when it came to leading people, I loved that.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how to take care of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, It's really funny that leading people is a challenge, and you got to figure out exactly what motivates them, how to get their trust and confidence. And I said it just a minute about leading by example and all that stuff. So it's really, I tell people all the time, people that listen right now, it's you can be in a leadership position, but you got to make sure the people that you're leading trust you and have confidence in you. And that's, yes. And I think that's one of the most important things. And going back to what I said before about leading by example is so important when you're a leader. I know you was a lead athlete because, of course, you just told me, and I knew that before based on our prep call. Were you able to maintain your fitness level while you deployed? And probably not. Let's talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, so I was able to maintain my fitness level because
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was addicted to fitness.
Yeah.
So the thing was, is I ended up struggling with an eating disorder in the service. And a part of that was exercise addiction. So fitness, physical fitness, taking care of myself, I kind of took it to the extreme, if you will. And it wasn't a healthy way. But the Marine Corps, you know, nobody noticed that. Everyone was just like, you're just a fitness stud. So deployment, I was able to, however, my mental health, which obviously physical and mental go together, but was starting to go downhill. So I started to exercise any chance I could. The eating disorder is the eating disorder, right? It just kind of, I really struggled with that in deployment, thinking that I wouldn't, right? I thought that maybe when I deployed as a platoon commander, that it would all go away because of all of the intensity of the job. But I was wrong. And realize, like, if you need help, you got to get off that treadmill and get the help, especially one that's
Did you talk to anybody in your platoon or your company commander or anybody about it?
I did. So what happened was, I actually, you know, staying in the same home in Camp Pendleton before deployment with our battalion doctor. And so she was a friend of mine. And then I also spoke up to some Navy psychologists. So she put me in touch with her friend who's a Navy psychologist. But at the time, the information to me was like, you really can't say anything unless you want to lose your job. Like this, you're deploying. Like, so I didn't, I had a huge respect for my senior enlisted. But I couldn't tell them yet, right? This is me as a young 22-year-old trying to figure it out. Like I was new to the platoon. I was more afraid of failing my Marine. So I kept it quiet because I felt like, oh, this is just an eating issue. Like I don't get pulled over for this. I don't get in trouble for this, but I'm showing up. I'm doing my job. I've got great fit reps. And, but yes, a couple people knew. And then I deployed. And I reached out to, thinking I would be okay, reached out to help there when I was deployed and got some of the same information. Like if I speak up, I'm going to lose my job. But I also, I'm very faith filled, was very close with my father. And I realized like as a leader, I'm not setting a great example here.
Yeah.
Like I am leading my Marines and I am accomplishing these missions, but I'm not okay. And if I'm not okay, then I'm not going to be making decisions that are like, I'm not at 100%. And I know that there are people that suck it up and push forward. But I knew that there was someone else that could probably take over my job. And not that I wanted them to, but my dad kind of put a stone in my shoe. He was like, the Marine Corps will go on, but you may not. Like the way you're going, Teresa, like you can affect your Marines. Like if you're out on a convoy, I wasn't just sitting behind a desk. I didn't want to sit behind a desk, even though women weren't technically acknowledged about being in the front lines yet. The time I was in, I was right. There's no front lines. I mean, everything was a front line in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I was not going to sit behind a desk while my Marines were out there. Like I was out there with them searching for landmines, doing female terrorist escorting. Like I was doing all the things, but inside I was eating myself alive. And so asking for help, well, it was the hardest thing I've ever done, even to this day. I mean, I've gone through some hard things, but facing my leadership who was like, WTF.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, but it's difficult for people in leadership positions to, especially to admit they need help. I mean, I've seen a lot of people in my life, whether or not there's general officers, senior NCOs, and I always used to talk, they never want to see there's a chink in your armor. You know, they want to see that you're a tough, motivated Marine or soldier, and they don't want anybody to know that you got a problem. And I think that's tough. I mean, but I'm not sure. I think we've went a long ways based on what I've seen here recently about people really identifying. You know, I either got, in fact, I got to admit, when I was in the service, I had a guy one time that I got around him one time. He drank too much, and I thought, that's just normal. It turned out he was an alcoholic. I mean, there's a lot of things. There are things that come up that you just don't think there's an issue. And so you just ignore it. But you did the right thing about telling somebody and taking care of yourself. That's the most important thing, because your dad was right. Life goes on. There's always somebody to fill your boots or fill your position. That's just a military way. And so he gave you some great advice. You want to say anything about leadership? I mean, about the fact, I mean, most leaders don't want to say that they got a problem. I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
Yeah. Well, that also, so here's the thing. This is the really interesting thing that came about from asking for help. Well, it was extremely hard. Obviously, as a young, very competitive Marine, like, I didn't want to show weakness. So this was, in my mind at the time, showing weakness.
Showing, yes. Making people think you're a loser. That you're in your mind, you're thinking, I'm losing. No, I agree.
But in the end, I was finally owning my health and well-being, finally sticking up for myself. And yes, I waited, but I also was so hell-bent on mission accomplishment and troop welfare. And I was so good at, again, performing and taking care of everyone else until I wasn't. And so coming home and facing the Marine Corps and forgiving and getting help and really having to still stick up for myself along the way, while it's still sometimes a gut punch to me, when I think about it, like, I'm so proud of myself and the journey. And, you know, I learned to love myself along the way. I mean, it wasn't right away, but look, like, I wouldn't be where I am doing what I'm doing with as much passion had I not asked for help. I might still be on that egocentric train, full of pride, not asking for help, still struggling, you know, who knows? But the point is I decided to make a change despite what anyone else thought, because I knew I needed help. And it took my father, who'd already lost his wife, who is, you know, my mother, who basically was very faith-filled too, obviously as a Catholic priest, and, like, you know, telling me, you kind of, I love you. And the thing is, I didn't love myself enough to ask for help. It was for him initially. I got to do this for him because I don't want to see him hurt. And he put a stone in my shoe about the whole, I'm impacting everyone else around me. Now, in the work I do now, there's this whole concept of social contagion. We as leaders, you better believe people look at how you show up. And whether you like it or not, that, you know, when you meet the people that work for you and show kindness or lack thereof, they pick up on that. And that's about you. Like, the way you treat others, good, bad, or otherwise, is about you.
Absolutely.
and how you respond versus react. And so I can relate a lot of this behavior change leadership stuff to me as a young leader coming into my own and really owning my health and well-being. And it's made me more aware of what I want and what I need to be and how I want to be for my family. And I do find, though, that when I do share this, that it allows other people to open up. I was just doing a keynote for a group of leaders in universities. And a man came up to me and said, in tears, which he's like, my wife is struggling big time. Now, this is a guy who runs a university. And he comes up, my wife is struggling big time. I don't know. I have a feeling she might want to take her life. Can you talk to her? And I said, look, I'm not a mental health therapist, but I will talk to her and I will guide her. I will give her some resources. And of course I'll talk to her, like, but the humanity of it, like, you can't Like, that's what's wonderful is, like, we are real people. We're not just robots. And leaders get treated like robots. I saw my dad as a Catholic priest. People thought he was not a human. I'm like, he's a human being. Well, you're a human being. Yeah, you reached the highest ranks of your of being in the army, and people probably didn't see you as human.
No, you know, I'm going to disagree with that because I tried real hard when I was in the military to be approachable, to talk to people, to get out there and talk to as many as I can. And most of the people that I got around said I was approachable. In fact, I used to do one-handed push-ups as competition with privates and generals. I mean, whoever would get out there and compete with me. But I always just say you got to have a little bit of a gimmick, something that makes them understand you're just like them. You just got a different job. And I think that all goes back to leadership and how you want to treat people. But if you're going to lead somebody, they got to have, again, I said it before, they got to have the confidence that you know what you're doing. They got to have the trust that you're doing what's right for them. The other thing I tell you for me is I've always said that when I raise my hand, I'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. That means that I'm willing to give up my life for your freedoms. And I don't take that lightly. And I think most people don't. And I think most leaders don't. All leaders don't. In fact, that when you tell me that I'm in charge, you in charge of a group, I'm not sure how big an engineer platoon is, maybe 30 people or 40 people or 20 people, I'm not sure. But when you take charge of that, you have their livelihood in your charge. And things they do good or bad, I mean, you're responsible for that. And so you don't want to show them that you've got a flaw. You want to stand up straight and look good and all the time and get what's done. Now, so I understand perfectly. When you talked during our prep call, you said in the beginning you didn't know how to lead and take care of yourself at the same time. Why did you struggle with that so much? Why? I mean, what was the balance? What was the problem? Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Well, I think self-care is different for everyone, but. For me, I was so performance driven and achievement driven. So in college, I was, I had to be an All-American. I had to be the best in my Big East. I, as a Marine, I had to show no weakness and do the same standards, right? At the time, the standards were the same for men and women, but be able to do the male standards for my PFT and just lead from the front. And I didn't know at the end of the day, when I came home, how to, what we call now down regulation, like calm mind, body, calming of the nervous system. How do you come off of intense events, right? Every day was a little bit different, and usually an uphill battle as a young lieutenant figuring out my platoon. I had 54 individuals in my platoon, which are all, not all of them are great. Like we had a few, they were like family though to me, regardless of the 3% that took up a lot of my time. But I mean, I was learning, right? Like I was actually doing marriage counseling. I felt like at the age of 22 to these young Marines, or trying to like help them in their personal lives. And that's the funny thing is I found that it wasn't about engineering. It was about the people. That was my job, was to take care of the people. Mm-hmm. But that's not something that was taught to me, or maybe it was, or just went over my head, but it was real world. Picking up a platoon, it wasn't about the engineering, it was about the people. And so at the end of the day, and during the day, just managing the work and then coming home, I didn't know how to come home and just be. And so I did what I'd always done, was just work out hard, right? There's nothing to train my mind. Working out obviously can be that for some people, but I didn't pray often, or what we call now meditation and mindfulness. And I really was focused more on my performance, hyper-focused on my performance and perception. And so that cost me, right? There's no down regulation time. I wasn't sleeping well. And because I just felt like I have to be the best. I have to show these Marines, right? Be an example for them, be there for them. We're preparing for deployment. Our different missions in domestically, and it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so I just, in my leadership, I didn't go to them for help, or it was that we didn't have that kind of relationship. Maybe I could have now, but my senior enlisted were actually the most helpful. They could pick up on things like, Lieutenant, why don't you go home and get some sleep? hey, leave, you know, because I would always stay until the last Marine was gone. Like, I wouldn't just leave. But that was a trajectory, Sergeant Major, from when I was little. Like, I took care of my mom before, you know, my dad and I, my brothers took care of my mom. And when she passed, there was a huge shift for me of like, I've got to be the best because that's how I get noticed.
Yeah.
And I was just on this, like, you know, super fast treadmill of just like, I got to be the best. And if I'm not, I'm going to figure it out and I'm not going to sleep until I do it. And yeah, it got me places, right? I was always did really well in college, but it cost me in the end. And so now I know I need to give myself time to heal, give myself time at the end of the day, beginning of the day. What is, and like, pay attention to what Teresa wants and needs.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things I always tell people, I can't win at everything, but I can compete at everything. And I may not be the fastest runner. I may be able to be more push-ups or whatever the heck it is. And I think in life, you got to figure out that, hey, I'm not the best, but I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
And the other thing you said I thought was pretty interesting. I used to get, you know, I was a young sergeant and I did a couple of companies of first sergeant, and I was a sergeant major, I think, for 16 or 17 years of battalion, brigade, division, corps. I'm so very senior levels. But I learned very quickly that I can't fix everything. And when I went home, I'd just say, hey, this is my time. And I try to, you know, I had certain time to work. And if I couldn't get it done to work, I'd go home. Now, there's, you know, as you move up, there's always going to be something that comes up. But I tried to take a little bit of time for myself and try to relax. But I wasn't very good at it either, I'll tell you the truth. But, but I tried. And as I look back, I wish I'd have did a lot more. In fact, I always tell people, too, that my kids grew up. I never watched them grow up. And it was terrible. Now I got grandkids and I try to do all I can to spoil them anyway, but I missed a lot of that. And that's part of being a leader. And I think as a leader, you're going to struggle because you got to figure out what right is like. And that's, you know, that's really tough for all of us. So, well, when you were, you know, with your struggles, your balance of self-care to leadership, was that really the inspiration for you starting your own company? I'm sure it was, wasn't it?
Yes. So I was always fascinated with medicine and movement, and because with my platoon, we always, like, every Monday we always talked current events, and I'd always have the Marines, like, you know, bring up stuff about what they were learning in the world. And then also I would do their physical fitness. Like, I would help run PT. And so PT was always, you know, a passion for mine.
Until
I started to use it. Yeah. Awesome. And then, so, you know, getting out, I decided, well, what's my transition going to look like? What do I want to do next? I played a year of professional softball and then decided to go into sports medicine. But what kind of sports medicine? PT. But I quickly realized PT, the traditional route, was not for me and just wasn't. I'm not going to work. I didn't want to be, I felt like claustrophobic inside wallpapered walls. I'm like, you're not going to find me in a clinic. Like, I don't care about all the technology. People need to learn how to move their bodies and be outside. So I started my own business right away and started working with, it was like right after I got married, actually. My husband and I on our honeymoon came up with this plan. I actually, one of my friends who's a veteran helped me with my website, my first website, and started to also speak for CROSS, that I was an instructor for the movement and mobility course across the globe. So I got some speaking in there too, started to get some speaking in, like 8 hours a day of speaking. but my business though started as a PT practice in San Diego and then pivoted pre-pandemic to more corporate wellness, virtual type offerings. And that was great for a period of time. And then I realized, you know, from feedback that over time, people, employees fall off. They just fall off of the program. And I was like, well, why is that? And so I used to ask, like, why isn't your manager a leader here? You know, like, why aren't they? And I'm like, well, they're too busy.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, they don't really do this stuff. And I'm like, well, from what I know, it's leadership by example.
Absolutely.
If you want people to engage and you want to change a company culture, then the leadership needs to be around. So then we pivoted our company again. Pandemic actually kind of really helped us with this, even though it was hard on our PT practice. Was like, we are going to focus on leader well-being, because for, even in the research, it shows there's a lot of employee well-being offerings. Doesn't mean people are going to engage with it, but the leaders that engage with their own, pay attention to their own well-being, actually help the growth of their company and the retention of their So that's where I'm focusing.
Yeah.
That was where the gap was. And so, yes, I've been running my business with my husband for 10 years and it has not been easy, but I'm telling you, like what we do now, and for the last 4 years is with leadership well-being. It's the best. Like it's really awesome.
I gotta tell you a story. Well, all the time you're talking, I'm thinking of this officer I work with. Years ago, I'm not gonna say his name, especially on this podcast, but one day it was PT. We walked out and he says, "Hey, Sergeant Major, where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm going down. I'm gonna do some PT with some soldiers down there." So as I walked through the unit, they'd say, "Hey, morning, Sergeant Major." I say, "Morning." I said, "Salute the Colonel." And they kept going and said, "Morning, Sergeant Major." I said, "Salute the Colonel." We went through all night. We had a 6,000 plus brigade. That was a large brigade. And when we got back to the office, he said, "Sergeant Major, none of those guys." I said, "That's because you stay behind your desk and you got to get out and let them see you." And then the other funny thing one time was, and I was in the 18th Airborne Corps. You had to do a six mile road march in under 3 hours or under 2.5 hours. I can't remember the time of it. And I said, "Sir, you got to prepare for this. I mean, I'm walking all the time. God, these guys are always walking." But he was behind that desk. He wasn't walking. But he has to do it too, just like you're talking about. So the day we have to do this test, he falls out in brand new jump boots.
Oh boy.
I said, "Sir, you know, I got these old ratty boots on. I broke them, and they're really comfortable." And we walked down. He kept falling back. He made the time limit. He come back. I don't think he could walk for about 5 days.
Oh my gosh!
But the good thing about that, he learned a lesson about you can't stay behind a desk. You make sure you prepare yourself. It is about staying physically fit and mentally tough. And for me, I got to tell you personally, for me, when I work out, I think about things. I relax. I sort out problems. I think of ideas. So it's really helpful for a lot of people. So this, it's a great discussion, not just for everybody. I mean, corporate members. But you're really right when you have a president of a company, and I work with a couple other there, and I used to tell them that we're going to be talking to you about the military. And you should come in. "Well, you know, I don't need that." Well, what, how are you going to learn about it?
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't teach you. So a lot of people sometimes, I'm not sure they think I don't think they're too smart, but I think they don't want to show people they're like everybody else. And I think that's the most important thing they can do. Yeah. Yeah.
And absolutely. That really is like, we're humanizing. I kind of phrase it as like humanizing leaders.
Yeah.
Because when you actually show vulnerability, which is a powerful thing, it doesn't mean you have to spill your guts.
No.
It just means, look, I'm not perfect. And actually, when I reached out to my enlisted and asked, like, "Hey, how do you do this?
Yeah.
Can you show me how you do it?" Yeah, I gained respect really fast.
Yeah.
Just because I authentically wanted to know, because hey, I only went through so much training. They're the ones that have been doing it for so many years, a lot more than me. But it is really interesting when you see leaders who just don't want to engage. And that's sad, because it's not just in work, it's in their life too. And the two go hand in hand. And it is important to get out behind your desk and engage with your people and know what they want, what makes them tick. In some of these larger companies, it's really hard for the leadership to do that, but you can do that with your managers, with the people that lead the other people.
Like, well, you gotta learn how to delegate. You gotta learn how to, I mean, you can't do everything. You delegate it to other people to make sure they get, you know, if you're in charge of something, an organization, people are listening, you're in charge. I mean, you don't have to do all the work. You need to train those people that they can, so they can replace you when you're not there anymore. That's really what the bottom line is. But first of all, Dr. T, I love saying, you know, people call me JT every once in a while. I love that too. But
Dr. T, nice.
Dr. T, we're going to continue this discussion in a couple of minutes. But first, like everything else, we have to take a quick break. So I know you're not going anywhere because you're in Colorado. So stay right there. I'll be right back. And don't you go anywhere. This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are because we're talking about leadership and development and what you need to do to be a good leader, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications about all of our upcoming video podcasts. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Teresa Larson, a Marine veteran who is the founder and president Movement RX, a company that works with corporate leadership teams to help them develop their health and well-being. Dr. T, along with starting your own company, I've started my own company years ago. You also wrote a book called Warrior. Well, let me get this book. I just happen to have it right here now. I got Warrior right here, which I just happen to have in front of you right now. Hopefully you can, I want to put it right so we can all see it. All right, so we got it now. Okay, we're looking good. So I got to ask you, what inspired you to write the book? I mean, I've already got a little bit of it, but what really inspired you to write the book?
Oh, man. Well, I knew that, first of all, I was giving a keynote at the National Eating Disorder Association. I think it was in 2010 now. And I'd been invited out there because they were like, look, you're the only one that's put out a blog. I have one blog I put out about my journey of recovery. It was a really simple blog. My father actually helped me write it. And they'd found it and were like, we don't really talk about eating disorders in the military. And it's actually fairly common. Mm-hmm. We would like you to come out and be on a panel. And I was like, okay. So I flew out to DC, was on this panel, and in the audience was a ghostwriter. And a ghostwriter who happened to be really involved. Some of his closest family members have had severe eating disorders. And he's like, look, I heard your story up on stage. I want to help you write it. Will you help me write? And I was like, who are you?
Wow. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, first of all, we got to get to know each other more if you're going to actually write my story. And that's what I'm going to be like, yeah, anybody could do this. But I got to know him and he kept dry. Like he was an LA TV writer. He wrote for TV, television. And he ended up coming down to San Diego where I was living at the time and interviewing me. And we'd do like every week he'd come down and interview me. And what, you know, the book wasn't about my work at all. Like I had no intention of being like, oh yeah, this is going to be great for business. And no, I did it for me. Like I wanted to put my story on paper because I knew I wasn't alone.
So that's the story you wanted to tell. You want to tell the story about you. Is that that what you want to put in?
Yeah. The story was like, I know people aren't alone. They struggle. Like I want to share what it was like, you know, trying to be a perfectionist and super driven and then struggling with this disease that is actually not uncommon and choosing my wellness. Like, how did I become well again? And what does that journey look like? And what was really important for me about this book was not being like, I've arrived and I'm great, but like, this is a journey that you have to commit to every day. And so the warrior story isn't about, oh, I've arrived and this is how awesome of a lieutenant I was and what a great leader I am. It's like, no, this is how I fell on my face, you know, and this is how I got back up. And this is how I started to take those hard hits because hard hits come no matter what and take them with a little more ease because of these self-care things that I've chosen to take on, such as meditation and mindfulness, right, which help you become more present. But the book was so much more than a book. I mean, I would like to write another book about business, actually, like the behind the scenes, but this was like more of, I have to tell this story because I know I'm not alone. And in the process, I grieved my mom for the first time. I wrote about her passing. Like I grieved her as a young girl, but not as an adult. Right. And that's a difference when you're grieving your parents as an adult. Grief is just a process. You're always going through it to some degree or another with loss. But it's, you know, my father, I was able to connect a lot with my father. My father passed while I was writing the book.
Oh, no.
My father passed when he was writing. My dad was a priest, right? He lived in rural Pennsylvania, would do these honor bike rides for veterans, like 100-mile bike rides. And he would just take a bunch of buddies and go out and ride his bike. That was his way. But during the process of me writing my book, I would share with him after he'd get off a bike ride about my chapters I'm writing. And he ended up going out one day by himself to honor a veteran, an Army veteran, because my dad was in the Army, actually.
All right.
Yeah. So he was, but I think they say he had a heart attack on his bike ride. And so obviously that's a downstream thing. Like there's other upstream things that were going on, meaning like causes to that. But my dad, you know, never stopped serving other people. Point is the journey of writing the book was like, there's so much life that happened in that. And I actually got to grieve my own, you know, getting out of the Marine Corps, you know, getting out of the Marine Corps with an eating disorder isn't like the most sexy thing. You know, it's like, actually it wasn't the way I wanted to get out. I would have loved to have stayed in to become a general officer, but hey, I'm a Dr. T now, and I get to serve people in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so, but it was really life-giving, Sergeant Major.
I always tell people, God put you on the earth to do something. You know, he didn't just let you show up, not just sit around for the rest of your life. No, you got to do something while you're here. And you're making a difference. What you're doing is making a difference. And I, you know, I would take my hat off, and I don't know here, but my hat's off too. Hey, and the other thing is, now I understand you really accomplished a lot. I'm going to say one more thing too, before I get into this other question I have before you. Is telling your story is so important. A lot of us sometimes forget to tell the story, and telling your story is therapy. When you, I mean, I talk about a whole lot of stuff in my life, and I probably tell the same story a whole bunch of times to a lot of people. But it's therapy for me to tell my story, and you'd be surprised how much therapy is, especially for other veterans, to listen to your story, because then they want to tell you their story. And it makes them feel better. And everybody struggles in life. I don't think there's anybody I don't know that hasn't fought some kind of battle with something. Yes. You know, they're always, you know, whether or not it's your health or your physical fitness or whatever it may be, but you're always doing something to make it better for yourself. The other thing is, and you said or talked about it a little bit, it's always about giving back too. What can I give back to other people? Not just about me, it's about giving back. You also did a TED Talk. I've never did a TED Talk. Oh, yeah. What about? I guess it was really nice. Yeah, yeah. So here's a little clip. Here's a little clip about your TED Talk.
Being a warrior is not those things. The definition of a warrior is taking ownership of yourself, taking ownership of your life. A adjective for warrior is resilient, a resilient person.
How did the TED Talk and the book help you bring your ideas to improving your performance and self-care and wellness the TED Talk probably brought a new audience to you, I guess it was.
Well, actually, so let me share about the TED Talk.
Okay, go ahead.
I had gotten pregnant with my first son, and I was about 4 or 5 months pregnant when UCSD asked me to do this TED Talk.
Yeah.
They nominated me. I was like, who are you? And why are you? Like,
why are you
I was
me?
Very honored. I'm like, this is great. So I decided to do the TED Talk, but guess what? The TED Talk was 8 weeks after I gave birth to my first son, who actually was born a toddler. He was 11 pounds,
what?
24 inches long. So it's not like, so
11
not only,
pounds. Oh my goodness.
So, yeah,
he's already 1 year old. No, go ahead.
You know, basically was born a toddler. And so, but you know, like if those children, like there's a fog, a baby that you go through. And my brain was just like, what is happening right now? And I had to give a TED talk 8 weeks later. So, and I didn't have to, but I chose to. And so what was really cool about the TED talk was that I was able to do a talk without notes, obviously, which was, you have to do that. But it really, for the first time, made me dial in storytelling in terms of in front of an audience. And also how did I want to tell the story? And so I used this concept called the love principles to share the TED talk. So the love principles are lead you first. What did that look like in the Marine Corps? Because the whole TED talk was around how to be a warrior. What does a warrior look like? Lead you first. The other one was oxygen. What is the power of breath? There's so much power in learning how to slow down your breathing and breathe more effectively, not only for performance, but for calm. And then the V was vulnerability. How do you be more vulnerable in your life? Because that is actually powerful, but to the right people, right? In the right doses. And then the last one was elasticity, but in the TED talk, it was actually endurance. And I shared a story of a Marine, a young woman Marine who had a rare cancer, who ended up passing, but got to share other warrior stories in my TED talk while I was able to share what Lead You First looked like for me, which is essentially asking for help and finally figuring out what Teresa wanted and needed to be a thriving human being versus just looking the part, but definitely not feeling it and healthy on the inside. And so the TED talk, I don't know if it gave me more audience. Maybe this, if I did another one today, it would be more succinct, but I would say it was like eye-opening for me, right? It was like, this is the first time I'm actually sharing my story. And from that point, I actually really started to dial in public speaking and doing keynote speaking, and study communication. So while I'm a PT by trade and human performance person, like I have to tell a story and I have to tell a story effectively, because you could ramble, and people have great stories. Learning how to tell it effectively has been helpful for me.
Yeah, well, let me tell you a quick story. I won't ramble. I had a, okay. When I was, I remember,
a podcast.
I remember one time I was going to, I was doing something, and somebody said, would you talk to this soldier? And it just happened to be a female soldier, but it was a soldier. And I says, why? She says, well, she was on her way to the Sergeant Major's Academy, and she got sick, and she has cancer. And I said, well, okay. She said, well, would you talk to her? Oh, absolutely, I'll talk. So I talked to her, and I talked to her. You know, we probably talked 15 or 20 minutes. And what happened was the next day she died. And I always thought to this day, I mean, in life, sometimes you only have, I always say 30 seconds, 20 seconds, or 10 seconds, or whatever, to affect somebody's life. And it's so important when you engage somebody, when you talk to somebody, that you really appreciate that time and do all you can to either educate, develop, coach, teach, whatever you want to do. But it's time that you need to make sure that you just don't take for granted, because you may never meet that person again the rest of your life. And I've engaged, a lot of people in my life, that's for doggone sure. And I knew that at a very young age that I may only talk to them one time, and I need to make sure that, I get the information out or whatever it is. And, because they're going to judge you on that. They're going to judge you on that 10-second, that engagement, whether or not you look at them, you talk to them, you shake your hand or whatever the heck it is. And really just probably pat myself on the back maybe a little bit. I still get emails and texts from people I met 20, 30 years ago and say, hey, thanks a lot for what you've done. And that's, again, it goes back to what you're talking about leadership and doing the right thing each time that you work with. I want to talk about your story and how you help other veterans first. But we, as always, we got to take another break. So again, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations that help this show be possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision,
part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Dr. Teresa Larson, a Marine Corps veteran who is the founder and president of Movement RX, a company that works with corporate leadership teams to develop their health and well-being. Remember, you know, this is your show. It's not my show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Dr. T, I love saying Dr. T. I need to change my name every time I say I want to say something else. Dr. T, how do you teach companies to promote better health for their leadership teams and their employees? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, it's an art and a science, I'll say that. So how usually leaders get to see me is whether it's at a conference or an association meeting or something where they saw me speak. I call leadership and well-being some of the keynotes I give, your competitive advantage or how to lead and last, right? And so from there, an organizational leader, such as some of the ones we work with Colorado Bureau of Investigations, FBI, we've worked with a few Army units, some law enforcement, some companies, right, public-facing companies. We start with a training, a kickoff training, and then we have what we call quarterly trainings that we give organizations. And the reason why we do that is we want to create behavior change. At the end of the day, it's not about what's cool or trying to fit in with the fad. Like, we're trying to help a company change its culture and hold people accountable or help them hold themselves accountable. So we usually, each training dives deeper into a topic such as mindfulness and meditation, how it relates to leadership and how you can install those kind of tools into your life. Or it's sleep. Like, we get a lot of requests for sleep training and how it helps leaders' mind, body, hormone, right? All that stuff, hormone regulation. So after a kickoff training, will they get like the whole outlook on why well-being is their competitive advantage? Typically, well-being isn't talked about as your competitive advantage. It's like, it's just something you need. It's a nice to have. And usually leaders will, like myself in the past, family, work take precedence. Self-care is kind of a nice to have. Only when I lose it will I pay attention. So we're really dialing in the performance enhancement aspect of it. Like, look, you're going to sleep better. That means you're going to come in and you're going to think more innovatively. Right? You're going to be more productive. Oh, by the way, you're going to be more aware of the people that you need to have conversations with about their performance, but you're going to feel better. And so after that first training, then they can kind of customize their own trainings after that. We typically do 2 to 4 a year with the company. In person, though, that is ideal, is we work in person because, well, podcasts can be super effective. When you're talking well-being, people need to touch and feel it. Like, they need to experience it. And there's nothing like looking someone in the eye and showing them how to self-mobilize or breathe. And so we have a whole well-being platform too. My company, we built out this digital platform. And that's also a nice resource for people. And I get to work with other veterans who are content providers. So I work with a retired Navy SEAL. I work with a Coast Guard veteran, not an Army veteran yet. Not that I won't. But there's a whole well-being platform that supports the company too. But the whole point is, from first of the year to the end of the year, how are we helping you change your behavior around how you sleep, fuel, mindset, movement, and how does that impact productivity and retention?
Yeah, I can tell you a whole bunch of stories about sleeping, but I'm going to tell you You said so much stuff, but a lot of good stuff there. First of all, I think that for me, when you're talking, I'm thinking if I had a program like this, it's got to be a yearly program. And I would almost say you got to do something weekly. Every week yes. I'm doing something all the way through the year. And that's and I would think that you'd have follow-up, not two or three times a year, but it's a weekly training program that you develop. The second thing, that sleeping, you're so I was in an exercise one time in Germany that this young captain, I was a platoon sergeant at the time, and he must have stayed up for 36 hours. And I'll never forget, I was in a maneuver and I snuck into these woods and I got the enemy outflanked. I'm ready to shoot him. I called him and asked him to give me permission to fire. And he didn't know what he was saying. He said, well, to blow it back. And I'm thinking, what's this guy doing? And so he lost it. And that was a good lesson for me. And then the other thing, when I remember I deployed into Bosnia after they signed a Dayton peace agreement, we deployed in there. And the guy I worked with, the general I worked with there, I started to go to him. I did go to him and say, look, sir, we're wearing these guys down here. We got, and the day before I was going to say that to him or that afternoon or something, at a meeting we have with all the commanders on Zoom and all this other teams, I'm not sure what they call it then, he said, hey, make sure we have a sleep program. I want every soldier to have at least a down day once a week. Because we was having a lot of discharge of weapons and all sorts of stuff was going on. Because people were just getting complacent and tired. And that's, I knew sleep was important, but yeah, you're right on target when it comes about. Have a good program, get you a good 8 hours of sleep because you're fresh yeah. and you're thinking correctly. You said mindfulness and the movement impact more than just an individual participating, but the whole organization becomes healthier. So does healthier workforce yes. mean, I think you just answered it, mean a more productive, and I'm sure it does. It's got to mean a more productive
oh, yeah.
company. Yeah, yeah. Have you got any results from that or anything that shows results that they're more productive?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll share a study with you that I think is fascinating.
Yeah.
This study, so 5% of the workforce, which was the leadership, did a meditation study. So they
I for meditate 8 weeks, every day.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, so they did for, well, if you did, great. It could be prayer too. It could be deep breathing. I don't, whatever. It's just stillness and quiet.
Yeah.
But the organize 5% of the company, which was the leadership, did this meditation over 8 weeks. And, but no one else in the company knew that they were doing this. Like it was just something that the leadership did and they were doing it on their own. And what they found was at the end of 8 weeks, but the leadership's productivity, they used outcome measures to help track data. So we also track data quite a bit with our company. Well-being, we look at physical, emotional, leadership, and work health. But this data, they looked at productivity of the individual, depression and anxiety. And they found that productivity increased, depression and anxiety decreased with the leaders. But the interesting thing was that even though the employees didn't know about the leaders meditating, their productivity increased. Their depression and anxiety decreased. So the interesting aspect of that, those results are, well, how you show up, right, as a leader, you're kinder, more aware, like there's less of a emergency type, like putting out fires, if you will, like you could come up with a number of reasons, but the whole point was these people didn't know that the leadership were meditating, but felt the impact. Right, of their leaders being better humans. So in the work we do, we have to get a lot of that data from HR, right? Typically, we don't work directly with HR, but when it comes to productivity or retention, we do get data. And the companies, so some of the feedback we've gotten outside of improvements in emotional and physical well-being, and we really look at physical well-being. We look at internal rotation of the shoulder, neck rotation, low back, hip wow. strength, all yeah. that stuff. Like we don't just like, oh, how are you feeling today? Like we actually dive into it and it's a self-assessment.
Yeah.
Not that how you're feeling, it matters, but one of the organizations has increased their revenue by 20%, which is in the millions for this organization, right? Working with us, it wasn't just us, but like the fact that they're just more effective at their job. The other thing is one of the leaders we work with is down 37 pounds. Guy in the Navy who was, he's off blood pressure meds, high cholesterol meds, feeling better. He's going to make better decisions. So we get like individual data and then company collective data from, you know, the HR. This company in general doesn't really lose people too much because it's a family run company. They kind of, you know, they stay together. But I will say that one of the things that comes up is burnout, issues of stress in organizations. And the feedback that we've gotten is that the emotional type, you know, people's emotional energies improve with the work we do over time. And they're exponentially. We have some of those, that data on our website. I can't like say exactly the number, but, you know, between individual objective measurements that have changed to company-wide, emotional energy, physical mobility, leadership health, and work health improves.
Yeah. I went through that. Like I said, I went through that all my military career, and I can tell you personally that I've watched units that didn't get much sleep, what I talked about just a minute ago, and units that did. The decision-making process is so much better. There was so much fresher, their ideas, their, you know, enthusiasm, everything. And you're really right. It's you have a better organization. And the other thing that really, if you're, I got to be honest with you, if you're not sleeping much, you're short-tempered. You know, it's easy to get angry about issues. You know, you're not thinking through the process a little bit. And it's really, it makes it tough. And so I think most of your military organizations, because of what they currently do all the time, I think lead by a lot of the things that you're talking about now, you know, all the way through, or you wouldn't be successful because the kind of jobs that they have or we had can, you know, pay with your life if you're not making the right decision, that's for sure. What's the most important thing that anyone watching or listening to us right now can, you know, take away from their experience? What's the most important thing that you want them to take away from what we're talking about?
Yeah, well, I know we talked about a lot, and we spoke about sleep and food and mindset and movement and leadership, which all plays into each other. But what I'll say is one thing, start doing one well-being behavior that I talked about today, start to dial it in. If you're not already, right? Is it fueling your body well? Is it sleep? Is it movement? What do you need more of? And do that one thing. Because if you think about it, just in terms of trajectory, 1% difference or 1 degree difference in your day takes you exponentially in a different direction over the course of months and a year. So for me, you know, my 1% is doing pull-ups every day. It's in order to do pull-ups, I have to be eating well and resting, right? and so there's a cue to it too, that it reminds me it's outside my house every day. What is the 1% for you? Is it eating a healthy breakfast that helps you on the trajectory of your day? Just do that one thing and see the domino effect. Sometimes well-being can be overwhelming, especially when you go to Google, or even if you go to our website, you look at, wow, there's a lot we can do for you, but just do one thing. And if you're not sleeping well, I would start there. Yeah. Start with dialing in your sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny to say, I used to tell people, pick the top three things that you want to do or accomplish. But you're really right, because I think sometimes what happens is people say, I'm going to do this, 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 and they don't do anything very good.
They don't do it well.
So pick that one thing that you think is, oh, that's great advice. If someone wants to learn more about, what, you know, where can they go? Do you have a website or a phone number?
Yes. My website is movement-rx.com. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm going to share with you the link to my Lifestyle RX, which is basically this printout of all the 5 components of well-being. So if you're like, what did she say again? Or, you know, want to learn more, there's literally a prescription of those 5 things. And on the back side is my 10 favorite self-mobilization drills. So, which means if you want to release tissue in your neck or your back or your hips, like if you're feeling some pain spots, we'll check out these free videos that I'm going to give you guys to give to your audience. It's called the Lifestyle RX.
Okay. Well, will it help me with my golf swing?
That's absolutely.
My gosh. As I get stiffer, yes. As I get older, if I'm going to check them out. You know I'm going to check them out.
You will love them. Just make sure you have 2 tennis balls or 2 lacrosse balls or even a foam roller, but you'll love the videos. They're short and sweet, and they're 10 of my favorite, and yes, it will help your golf swing, believe me. My brother asked me the same thing. So,
yeah. What's your brother's handicap? You know what his handicap is? Or you have any idea?
Oh my God, I don't know.
That's okay. Gosh, I was going to lie about mine anyway, so I didn't make it.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea.
Hey, this has been a great discussion. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And my goodness, you put out a lot of really good information to help a lot of people. If the people who are listening today, go to the website. You need to take that one degree, you know, shift a little bit. It's about your health, your physical health, your mental health. It's about really, tell you the truth, it's about your life, about making better decisions in life. And so I just can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience that maybe you didn't touch on, any additional thoughts you got there?
Well, you know, the one thing is important, and just, you know, be aware of the domino effect of that one thing. Mm-hmm. Because by just doing that one thing, you're going to be a kinder person. You're probably going to start doing other well-being exercises just because you took action on doing that one thing. But the last thing I'll give you is whatever that one thing is, be very present with it. Because as leaders out there, if you guys are doing big things in the world or just finding your purpose, whatever it is, the gift of presence is what makes you happy. Like when you're distracted and all over the place and constantly on your devices, it's hard on your nervous system. The more present you can be with those in front of you, your loved ones, your coworkers, the one thing that you choose to do, the better you'll be.
Well, you got to feel good about yourself. That'll make you feel good about yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's more about quality than quantity. Yeah. Because maybe I'm gone from my kids sometimes, right? I am. Or I'm traveling, or, you know, I'm doing big things in the world. But when I'm with them, I'm with them. And that hasn't always been the case. But the gift of presence and practicing being present is really powerful.
Well, Dr. T, thank you. This is from JT. Thank you. Dr. T, thank you from JT for coming on the
Sergeant
show.
Sergeant Major, thank you so much. This is so fun.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless.
Thanks to Dr. Teresa Larson for being with us today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us today. Log on to our website, yournextmission.org, and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good review, but if it's something else, I guess I could take it. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available for you that can assist you in your transition from the military. And we just added a new job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's a perfect fit for you. Check out this video on our website to learn how to fine-tune your search. You can also create your own individual profile. Scan the QR code on the screen or the QR code on the website to create your profile. All information collected is confidential and won't be shared with anyone. We want to assist you any way we can. I'm going to say that again. I always like saying it twice. We, all of us here, want to assist you any way we can. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell, too, to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcasts. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatelly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Dr. Teresa Larson, Dr. T, for joining us today. It was sharing her amazing story. And she said so many wonderful things. 1%, I never thought about it in that context before, but 1% shift can do a lot for your life, for your health style, your mental health style, your physical health style. I work out one hour, at least an hour a day, and I feel better when I maintain that healthy weight or when I eat the right foods. But it's not about today. It's always about 10 years from the day or 20 years today. And as I get older, I want to be around with my grandkids. And so maintain your health, work out, stay healthy, and watch the Dr. T's videos. I'm sure you'll learn a great deal from them. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Studios, of course, our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, See you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.